And welcome to My Protest. This is Donald Jeffries coming to you from just outside the swamp-infested Washington, D.C., as I do every Friday at this time. And it's so wonderful to hear Tom Petty again, to hear my music and to hear the commercials. That has been a glitch here for the last few weeks, so it's wonderful to hear that. And I won't have to rely on the chat room today for that. Back by popular demand, Stephanie Sledge, so many of you loved her a few weeks back, and so we have to have her back, and she's just a wealth of information on these alleged mass casualty events. So we're going to examine a few more of them. We talked about the Gifford shooting mostly last time, but we're going to talk about Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, and we'll maybe touch a little bit on COVID. So it's great to have you back, Stephanie. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, Don, and I'm very, very happy to be back on your show, and very excited. So thank you for inviting me back. I'm glad that your listeners liked me the last time I was on, and so here I am.
They did. I got a lot of feedback, really, more than I normally get, and so it was great. So let's talk. I guess we should maybe go in chronological order. So we talked about the Gifford slaying. Of course, the way these, and as you know, I'm writing a section on my book Hidden History 3. I'm writing about all these events, and we have to tread cautiously because I don't want to end up in court like Wolfgang Halbig and Jim Fetzer and Alex Jones, and so I'm very careful. So before we even start, I'm not saying that anybody didn't die or any parents or suspect, whatever. I'm just saying there's a lot there that needs to be questioned. And these narratives are full of holes, and it's not wrong to ask questions. And so I think we have that right. And if we had real journalists in this country that were paid professionals to do it, then we wouldn't need people like you trekking to the places, knocking on people's doors and what you do. So anyhow, so Sandy Hook, this is, I think, kind of the mother of all these events. You know, you had the Giffords thing, you had the Batman Aurora shooting, they had some of the same elements, but with Sandy Hook, things really, I think, changed, and it's the one they used to hang over our head. You know, how dare you talk about Sandy Hook? Don't talk about it. So that makes me want to talk about it, obviously. So tell us about how you get involved in that research and your book that you wrote about it. Stephanie, are you there?
I was just carrying it away, and I don't know why. I think my Skype, I don't have a very good connection with Skype for some reason. So I don't know. Maybe somebody might want to call me on my regular phone number.
Well, yeah, you know what? Let's do that. Why don't you, let's see, how can you, do you know how to chat in Skype, right? Can you just answer my, you can see where I chatted to you. Just type your phone number in there and I'll call you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. We don't want to give it out on the air. You know, you might have be besieged with fans calling.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kept talking, so here I am again. I don't know where I left off, so I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's my Skype because my Skype keeps crashing.
Yeah, I hate Skype.
Okay.
Well, we're still going to be going through Skype. So that's the problem, is that I can call you on your number, but it has to be within the framework of Skype. So, but hopefully, I don't know, maybe it'll work better. We can give it a try anyhow.
Okay, well, while we're connected now, we can keep going. But
well, yeah, keep going until we have this as a backup. And if it does, I'll just remove you again and call you on the phone. Okay, so basically you had started out saying, I don't think you got very far from where you cut off. You were saying you were you wanted to look at it a certain way, and then your book about it, and then I think you went off right when you started. You said it was available. You gave the link it was available, and I think I lost you after that.
Okay. In my book, what I did was I investigated the criminal element that was the deep side of Connecticut, all about the pedophilia, drugs, all about the corporate criminal element, everything that was involved that led up to Sandy Hook and the criminal people that were involved. I was able to identify professional sports players and the Mossad's role in all of this. And so what I did was I wrote a book about that side of Sandy Hook, exposing the criminal element of Newtown and the state of Connecticut, Sandy Hook community. And also today I thought was interesting was the Remington Arms filed bankruptcy, and just in the last day or so, they released that they were going to make a settlement for the Sandy Hook victims for $33 million. And you know, I thought that was interesting because I had wrote a chapter in my book. It was called Sandy Hook Brought More Than Just Disarmament. And it was all about Remington Arms and the lawsuit that they had filed against them. And it was all about, it was very questionable. So I had actually, when I first published my book, I had actually published my book last year on my findings. And so what I did was I had wrote a whole chapter about this shady lawsuit that was filed by the victims and to hold the gun manufacturers legally responsible for the shootings. And so I had, during my research of all of my book that I put together, I had tied the plot that insurance companies and banks and gun manufacturers, all the gun manufacturers were all in bed together, helping in this effort to disarm the nation during, you know, the Sandy Hook shooting. And so what I did was once I did publish my book, I had sent the president of Remington Arms a copy of my book and to let him know that there was only a couple logical reasons why the state of Connecticut, where a Supreme Court judge ruled that Remington could be held legally responsible. And that was either if their company was being used as the fall guy to help disarm the nation and to challenge the 2005 federal law that granted, you know, manufacturers immunity from liability claims over violent acts in which their guns are involved, or the other side was that they have agreed to be the fall guy as they're heading in towards bankruptcy proceedings. And, you know, and Connecticut would have been a perfect place because they just outed all the sheriffs in the state. And of course, everybody was using to look at the victim card, you know, with all the alleged children involved. And so anyway, I found that interesting. So that's as far as my book goes. It can be found on blog.thegovernmentrag.com. And it gives like the whole criminal cabal element side of Sandy Hook.
Well, that's fantastic. But give us some more. So you're saying you talked about sports figures. So what are I'm not as familiar with that. Did you look into it at all? That really strange, and I don't know if it's really been completely verified, but it is pretty bizarre that there are records out there about all, I think it was 15 of the 20 families that lost children at Sandy Hook who were deeded their property on Christmas Day for $0. And I think Gene Rosen was too, and maybe a couple other people. Did you look into that at all?
Yeah, I know that there's been a lot of other researchers that have looked into that. In fact, I just published the article that I published today about Remington. I actually included a video that I watched this morning about all of that. And I was not aware that, you know, all of that side of it took place. So I was very surprised to hear that. So I included that in there as well, the video. And you can find that article about Remington. You can find it also on blog.thegovernmentrag.com. And it's titled Remington Takes Fall, Sells Out American Gun Owners, and Settles Sandy Hook for $33 million. And the video's at the bottom of that. So I find it interesting that you bring that to my attention, too, because that's the first time I had actually heard of all of those leads.
I just thought, I mean, especially I've been a licensed realtor since 1985, and I need to start getting back into the business more. But, I don't think you need to be a realtor to know that real estate business is not conducted on Christmas Day ever. The excuse has been used there that this was something, and of course I worked in IT too, that they used it as a default date. You would never use Christmas Day as a default date. That's ridiculous. You maybe could argue you use the first of the year, maybe because it's the first of the year, but that doesn't make any sense. I don't think it's been explained at all. I mean, there's, it's very, very bizarre. By the way, the chat room is all a flutter over the 33 figure, you know, that it was 33 million. I'm sure you know that's
yeah. 33 million and nine of the family members. So
It's a very it's amazing how often that's symbolism comes up. But so okay, so you really it looks like you. So what else did you when you're writing your Sandy Hook? So you're not really looking into. I want to hear more about this these players that you discovered, athletes, whatever. What other? Because Sandy Hook is it's been speculated by people that. That it's like a town of it's not a real town or something. It's like a Truman Show type town where so many of these people had acting backgrounds. And again, this is undeniable. It's out for the public record. What did you is that what you mean or what exactly? Because I mean, you had Paul Vance was tried out for Survivor. He was the state police spokesman. I mean, a lot of curious things there.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of curious things and. And Lieutenant Vance was also a part of the Mossad, and he was personally sent over to Israel to be trained. And he was what they put together during that time frame. There were being law enforcement officers that were sent to Israel for training. And a lot of people overlooked that. You know, they just assumed that, oh, well, that's great. You know, that our police chief or sheriff or whoever is being sent to Israel to get the best training, you know, but in fact, what they were really doing was they were being trained by the Mossad. And so these people, there's a lot of people that we've seen in these events that are in law enforcement and also in the 911 system period, whether it's fire or, the call centers or anything like that, that had been sent to Israel and were trained under the direction of the Mossad. So I found that very alarming, actually, because, I've done a lot of research into the Mossad, and I've written lots and lots of things about, Israel and the Mossad. And I know it goes way deep. And so to find out that our own, 911 system has infiltrated Mossad members that are trained by the Mossad was very alarming to me.
Sure. Well, and this, more recently, obviously, with an incident that has wreaked havoc with our society, the George Floyd incident, the thing of putting the knee on the neck. I mean, that was a tactic learned in Israel. What they do to the Palestinians was, didn't they also say that their law enforcement had been trained in Israel? Why are any of our cops being trained in Israel? I don't understand. Why can't we do that ourselves?
Yeah, well, that is a big question. And the only answer I can give is the fact that our country's infiltrated and, they had to infiltrate their way in. And the best way to do it was through our 911 system, which is what Janet Napolitano built during the Obama administration with DHS. Is she actually built all of the centers that infiltrated Mossad. And we've seen that in the Tucson shooting. That was one of the rewards that they got out there in Tucson in Arizona was they got a brand new DHS center right there in Tucson. And, so Janet Napolitano is the one that actually brought the Mossad here during these times. I mean, they've been here prior to that, but actually organized them through the 911 system so that they're more accepted. I mean, it's more accepting to be submissive to somebody that's in a uniform, and they're always preaching that they're protecting us when in fact, their credentials are quite the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to criticize in law enforcement, but it's not because they're racist. They have a lot going on there. But so there's so much to the Sandy Hook story. So what other aspects of it did you go into it at all about the curious, I mean, all the anomalies. I mean, you're talking about, and again, this is not me. This is not Don Jeffries claiming it. They tell you that no EMT personnel were allowed inside the school. Now, if my child is in that school and they did not make any efforts, they let a bunch of cops declare kids dead. I mean, that can't be standard procedure. And yet, this is what we're told. And if you look at the helicopter footage that day, there doesn't appear to be much of anything going on. Again, that's not speculation. That's helicopter. Video doesn't lie. It shows cars parking haphazardly and blocking access. So if some ambulances had tried to go there, they couldn't have even reached there. So That's not theory. But I mean, did you look into any of that? Is there any, because there didn't seem to be any rationale for it. I mean, to me, this is all unprecedented.
I mean, I've looked over all of that stuff, and you know, I agree with all of it. I mean, the that's why I saved most of all the live footage I could get at all. You know, I saved it all because I knew that the Sandy Hook shooting was going to be the one that, if it was exposed, you know, it would be the one where people would rise up, and you know, it would be the, you know, people would be willing to go out and load their guns, you know, for the fact that we've been infiltrated by people that are, you know, organized gang of people that are here to help take down America. And so, yeah, I agree with all of that. I mean, these things were real. I mean, that we're not just saying them because we're alternative writers or researchers or journalists. We're saying them because they were actually true. They were shown to us live. We saw the helicopter footage with our own eyes. We've seen, you know, the fact that, you know, another thing that I thought was interesting is that as soon as they were done, you know, declaring the children dead, they just literally demolished the building.
Yes.
And that's not standard procedure. I mean, that building should have been there for at least 2 to 3 years while all the final evidence was collected, especially for somebody that was supposed to just walk into a locked facility and just start blowing kids away. And then, you know, so it all makes, it just makes no sense. The car in the parking lot, you know, the footage they showed us was actually, they were searching a car in the middle of the night is what the footage showed. You know, it was a very dark, they had their flashlights and, you know, and that couldn't have been possible. And so, yeah, I mean, my book basically just, it talks about all of these things in a different aspect, in a different view. I go into everything that has to do with the military side, the infiltrated organizations that keep showing up in all of these events, you know, like USAID, or AmeriCares was there at Sandy Hook. Also, you know, the same militarized players like Halliburton, Raytheon, they always appear. There's always people that work for them that are there. And then we have the science and the medical establishment is always there pushing some agenda. In the case of Sandy Hook, it was Adam's evil gene they were gonna study. And, you know, his father had donated his body to science so that they could study what he was diagnosed with having the evil gene is what they called it at the time. Now you go back and look for those articles now on the internet, and most of them have been, you know, they're gone. Oh, but yeah. Thankfully I saved them all and I was able to put together all of this stuff. So the Jewish agenda is really what is deep in this. In the Sandy Hook shooting, which was also the Boston bombing, and as well as the Tucson shooting, and then all the other shootings in between. So it just runs really good, you know, like all of these active shooter drills that we see. I found it interesting. They're just now starting to come back again, but they all disappeared during the first round of COVID. All of them. There was no more active shooter drills. I wasn't getting any alerts that any active shooter drills were taking place. But now that, you know, the first wave was lifted, I'm seeing these active shooter drills again come up again as soon as school starts. And so, you know, these are the things, these are the reasons why, you know, people need to be alarmed, is because, you know, these, our law enforcement is being sent to Israel to be trained. And then they come back and they lead a group of people, and you know, they basically are all militarized. I mean, we're all dealing with militarized 911 system that are willing to lie to us, willing to hide things, and willing to act.
Absolutely. Well, there's my music. It's actually working. It tells us we got a commercial break coming up. So hold tight, Stephanie. We'll be right back with these words.
Okay.
Of course, protest. We're talking with the great Stephanie Sledge, who is just an incredible researcher. There's a couple questions for you in the chat room. I want to get to Chris Graves, who is the best researcher in the world. And Chris, this question, I'm going to ask her, but I want you, please send me that. I know you send me so much stuff, but it gets lost in the shuffle. I want something about the photographer, Eric Langlois. So please send me a link about him drowning. But it says, does Stephanie know anything about the photographer, Eric Langlois, who later drowned? He took photos at St. Rose of Lima in what appeared to be a drill with cops joking around with the perps, and also the murder of lawyer Abe DiBella, who was in contact with Wolfgang Haubeck. You know anything about either of those cases? Hello, Stephanie? Oh, don't tell me we lost her again.
No, I
okay. I thought we lost you again.
I would be more than happy to gather more intel on both of those. I know the basics about them, but I don't know any more deep research, and if anybody has any, then I would be more than happy to look into it.
Cool. Yeah, because the Abe DiBella one, that's strange enough, because I'm sure you know that he was a young lawyer, young black lawyer, that was involved in a strange car wreck, but they claimed his car was overturned, but he was found with, like, I think two bullet holes, probably. That's that's Gary Webb style. That's how they kill people. And they claim he killed himself. So I guess he decided to wreck his car, and while he's upside down, he shoots himself in the head. I mean, just JFK assassination stuff.
Very strange.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. But his only connection to that is Wolfgang Haubeck's claim that he had talked to him recently and was on the verge of becoming his new lawyer. So I don't know about that. But let's talk, I guess, a little bit about Boston bombing. I want to make sure we get that in there as well. So you turn to Boston bombing, and there's certainly a there's a gold mine there as well. But tell us about your research on the Boston bombing.
Well, my research on the Boston bombing came out in basically live mode, where I began writing my report, and you can, like I said, you can find it on blog.thegovernmentrag.com, and you can download my PDF, and I think it's approximately 40 pages is how long it is. But what I did was I began writing in real time everything that was coming out at the time. And like I said, the reason why is because I started noticing many similarities between the Sandy Hook shooting as well as the Tucson shooting. Many of the same faces, people, places, things, were starting to arise, and I would take notes, and I started writing immediately. And so as far as the Boston bombing, your audience definitely needs to read my report on blog.thegovernmentrag.com. It's called 333 Disarray, the Boston Bombing Investigative Report by Stephanie Sledge. And I actually had written this back on the time when I had my first blog, which was on a WordPress blog. It was thegovernmentrag.wordpress.com. And they had censored me and threw me off the blog. And I only had just a few short hours to pack my bags and move on. And it was because I was exposing all of this stuff. And so years later, I was able to recover that article and put it back together. So I have just recently republished it. And it was at your request I went and looked for it. And I was like, I know I have it somewhere. Yeah. And then I started reading it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I have all this stuff. And a lot of the links that I had in it, you click on them and they're gone. I had to go back to the archives and search for them. Some of them I found, some of them I didn't. The videos, I had to go back and dig up some really old hard drive so I could find the videos. And so I was able to put it back together. But the Boston bombing was definitely a false flag. It was another controlled, militarized event, which led to the lockdown of Boston, complete lockdown. I mean, everybody was told they are to go into their house and not come out. And if they were to come out, they were going to be either shot on sight or jailed. And so it was a very scary event because it had gone even deeper and further into militarized training. And my thought at the time was that, we are definitely infiltrated. And when it comes down to the point where America goes on lockdown, it's going to be our own military that is going to lock us
Yeah,
down.
it was an interesting rehearsal, wasn't it, for what we saw? Because no one, I remember at the time going nuts, and there were so few people protesting what was happening there. I mean, you know, tanks rolling down the streets.
Wait. Yeah, and the reason why is because the nation has been indoctrinated by the mainstream media and, you know, everything else that we have to just trust and obey, you know, whatever it is that the police or the, you know, these people are doing, and that we need to just let them handle it and we just need to not worry about it. And that's what happened. And there's a lot of things as far as the Boston bombing. I mean, I'll just bring this up right away just to get this out of the way. But one of the things interesting that I found about the Boston bomber was when his lawyer was announced, who his lawyer was going to be.
Yes.
And her name was Judy Clark. And so I researched Judy Clark. And, okay, Judy Clark is part of the CIA. She represented Susan Smith in her murder trial, who was, you know, pled guilty. And she represented the Olympic bomber, which pled guilty. And she represented Jared Lee Loeffner in the Tucson shooting, and he pled guilty with no trial. And she represented the Islamic terrorist, Zacharias Moussalani, and he pled guilty. And then she also represented the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski, but he fired her, and then he pled guilty. So, like, she was in the forefront there of many of these big, giant, you know, high profile cases. And, you know, I mean, she didn't even question anything. They just all pled guilty, and that was that. And so anyway, I found that very interesting. And that's what really got my attention on that was when
she's kind of the anti Perry Mason. She never wins.
Yeah. And but deep research, and I do write about this. You can find it on my blog about the Jared Lee Loeffner findings that I found. My investigative report is at jaredleeloeffner.com. And so anyway, I do bring up the fact that Judy never, you know, he pled not guilty, but then instantly changed his plea to guilty.
Yeah.
The Boston bombing, you know, there were the same actors and players that were in there, like Hillary Clinton, Janet Napolitano, the whole Obama administration. Gabrielle Giffords was there with her and her husband, Mark Kelly, with all their, you know, they were right at the scene at Sandy Hook, and then they were there at the Boston bombing. And, you know, as far as there's a lot of ties to the CIA. If you read my article, you'll find out there's a lot of ties to the CIA. A lot of people that are contracted out through like Halliburton and also, you know, like a different, like Raytheon. And so these are contracted out players. And we saw those people in some of the pictures that they showed that, you know, claimed to be the Boston bomber, you know, with his backpack and stuff. But in reality, that was not him. But the story unfolded. It was so crazy. And, you know, and then they claimed that the older brother, and I can't remember his name. I think it was Tamerlan.
I think it was Tamerlan. Yeah.
Yeah. And they claimed that, you know, he was hit by a car, but, you know, in my report, I actually was able to obtain the autopsy photo. It was very brutal. And so, you know, just be warned if you open that up. But I mean, it clearly shows that, you know, he wasn't just hit by a car. I mean, he was beaten, shot, and he was violently ran over. And so, you know, that was the end of that. His mother, the other thing as well is that his mother claimed that he was set up by the FBI.
Yeah.
And, you know, that didn't surprise me because, you know, I've seen the FBI in all of these events. It doesn't matter if it's 9/11 or Sandy Hook or whatnot. There's always, always questionable stuff that comes from the FBI. And we know that the FBI sends their own plants in, their own informants in, to inflict a lot of this fear and to also carry out their events that they're doing. And so the mother did claim that the FBI was involved, and as soon as she claimed that the FBI was involved, the uncle, who I found interesting, has ties to the CIA, instantly came on live and was telling, you know, the whole country that, you know, his these two brothers don't deserve to, you know, they didn't deserve to live, or I don't remember the exact quote, but yeah. I mean, all he did was talk bad and talk down upon him. And yeah, he said they don't deserve to exist on this earth. And so anyway, further research into him, you know, he has ties to the CIA, and he also has ties to Halliburton, who everybody knows is a Pentagon contractor. And also he worked for USAID. And, you know, I think that most of us, you know, have studied a lot into, you know, the Mossad and how they work and stuff like that. Also know that these organizations like USAID and AmeriCares and all that, that, you know, we saw AmeriCares in Sandy Hook. And so, you know, I found that really interesting that he was involved in all of that.
Absolutely. So, there's some questions that more people are interested in what you're saying. Do you take them one at a time? Does Stephanie know anything about the explosion at the JFK library at the exact moment of the two marathon explosions? Stephanie, can you hear me? Stephanie, are you? Okay. Yeah, I keep thinking of this.
No, I think we have a little bit of a delay again, but I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I did have a private researcher that lived out in Tucson that actually sent me some photos, and they sent some exact locations of where the bombs were at. The JFK library is very close to the area. I don't know if it actually happened at the JFK library, but I do know that he was able to get in contact with several people, and he put some photos together, which are exclusive. They can't be found anywhere else, and you can find them on my report there. But he put some photos together of the exact locations. Now, the building, I have two locations where one of the building was at 671 Bolston Street, and there might have been more than one, but these two were confirmed by also another investigator that actually lived in Boston. The Tucson investigator was working with, and one of the locations was at Copley Healthcare, and somebody was able to take photos and actually capture people, two people that were hiding on the rooftop that morning, and also, and then I have a number of three photos in there that have different, but I know that the JFK library is located within the area, but as far as my research goes, one was at the directly in front of the Copley Healthcare Alliance, and then the other one was actually in front of a restaurant place where they were celebrating a Red Sox game.
Have you looked at? And this is a question I was going to ask you this too. If you looked at Dave McGowan's excellent series on the Boston bombing, I'm sure you've, if you haven't seen, I mean, he did the best work out there, his photographic work. And I think it got him killed. He died of cancer allegedly, but he died very quickly. And his family's suspicious about it. Have you seen his work?
I can't say for sure. I've looked at lots and lots of work, but I mean,
yeah, Dave McGowan, look him up. Dave McGowan, Center for Informed America, used the CIA initials as, you know, kind of a joke. But he did some really great work. And he also did a fantastic interview shortly before his death. I think his last interview he ever gave on Caravan to Midnight with John B. Wells. And boy, that's explosive to watch that. But because he was an excellent analyst of photographs, and he went over them with a fine tooth comb. But so that's and let's see what else. And of course, Sarnoff's buddy, you know, which was, I mean, have you ever heard of that happening before, where somebody they're interrogating, the FBI, is shot and killed while they're interrogating? And this is Sarnoff's friend. I mean, how do people accept these things?
I don't know, but it seems to be, you know, that people are accepting these things, you know, just they question it and then they just move on with their day, and nobody wants to, you know, even question our FBI and, you know, all the criminal elements that are going on with it. And so, yeah, I'm alarmed at the way, you know, Americans are responding to all of this over time. And of course, they do this to us over time as, you know, part of a traumatized training of mind control, where people really just get used to it and they hear about it and they don't question anything. They just take whatever the first thing's told and they just move on with that. And yeah. Anyway, the whole Boston bombing is really crazy to me. And like I said earlier, you know, the professional sports were also introduced there as well. I mean, we've seen in the Tucson shooting that the Philadelphia Phillies and the LA Dodgers were involved in that. And then Sandy Hook was the Red Sox and the Patriots. And then we move on to the Boston bombing, and we have not only the New England Patriots again, but we also have the Red Sox again, and we also have the Giants. And so I thought that was interesting that all of these professional sports, you know, everybody was focused on professional sports. And at the site of one of the bombings, it was at the, yeah, at this restaurant where was heavily trafficked by the Red Sox fans. And it was like 9/11 was reintroduced. Heather Abbott, she was one of the alleged victims there, was celebrating the Patriots Day Red Sox games. And anyway, she was in the hospital where, Michelle Obama and a bunch of others came to visit her. And she was quoted saying, you know, that she was quoted saying basically that, you know, she just, when it all happened, you know, it was like she was reliving 9/11 all over again. And so I found that interesting because the Red Sox, you know, were involved heavily with the being in the background as far as helping in their effort with that event. And then also Joe Andruzzi, I think is his name.
He was
from the New York Patriots, and he just happened to be there right next to the finish line, and he runs out and grabs one of the victims allegedly, and he's, you know, being shown where he's running down the street with her so she could cross the finish line. And so, and then also the Patriots, you know, so it's all quite fascinating, actually. You know, I mean, I guess it really takes a special eye to see, you know, you have to really study these events in order to, you know, see all of these little, people might consider to be minor things that are coincidences, but they're not coincidences. Right. These are planned, staged events, you know, just like with the U.S. Patriots, you know, and the owner's involvement there with Sandy Hook and the fact that he owned a company there in Newtown, and also, you know, happens to show up in other events along the way as well. And so, you know, you can read all about that in this publication, and you can also read about it in my book as well. So.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting about Boston bombing is that, unlike really all of these events, but certainly like Sandy Hook and Gabby Giffords and the Batman shooting, the ones that kind of came before it, critics instantly latched on the complete absence of any security footage. So basically there was no film of anything. Where's the blood? And that's what everybody was saying. In Boston bombing, you've got tons and tons of footage, and that's what Dave McGowan and people like, they analyzed it. But if you look at it, it's like, what is going on? And people are, you know, victims appear to be, I mean, there's so much to question there. I mean, I'm sure you've analyzed those photographs too, but I mean, it's really a rabbit hole when you go down, because you're thinking, how can this be real? But it really, there's a lot to question there in those photographs.
Yeah, there's a lot to question. And there's also, you know, like one of the things researchers were able to find as well, following the Sandy Hook shooting, was they were able to find slides, a PowerPoint slide, that was called Marathons, The Tale of Two Cities. and the running of a planned mass casualty event. And I include the slides that I was able to obtain in my report. And it's all about Boston, the EMS, and the chief and the assistant director and the Department of Health being involved in their special events, their planned disasters, and focusing around, not only a marathon, but also, you know, using bombs. And so this, it has all the maps of the Boston Marathon, what they planned. So these were all obtained, they were leaked out. And so this right here is actual proof. They were published in 2008. So that would have been four years prior, but they were taken, they were leaked out from someone that had to take this course. And this was the planned casualty event. And so we were able to obtain those slides, but they were leaked in 2008. And it's called The Tale of Two Cities and the Running of a Planned Mass Casualty Event. And I mean, right there is just absolute proof. Now, my only thing is that, you know, what horrifies me is the fact that, you know, we can say that it's a false flag. It was planned. It didn't happen the way the news media told us to. And by the way, when it comes to 911, the media is also, they also have to be part of this. So they don't have a choice for the most part. I mean, they are part of the 911 system too, when it comes to ties with DHS and all that stuff. So, you know, whatever script they're given, they have to tell everybody. And, you know, and that alarms me. But what alarms me the most is the fact that we have people like Johar Sornia, I think that's how you pronounce the Boston bomber's name, that was sentenced to death row. And then now a judge has overturned that, where he's not going to be able to have a new trial where evidence can be submitted, but he can have, his sentencing hearing can be, looked at again. And so, and then we also have, you know, other people like Jerry Lee Loeffner, who I believe is a patsy, and, you know, of course, others that I believe are, you know, if they didn't come up dead like Adam Lanza, they're in prison. And so yeah. That's what alarms me, is how fast they can set someone up. And yeah. Are these people actually real? You know, yeah. Like, are they players too? Or is yeah. the Boston bomber actually? Now, I did write Jerry Lee Loeffner a letter in prison requesting mm-hmm. that I have communication with him. But I never heard back from him at all. I check frequently my emails. But mm-hmm. I did write an open letter, you know, to request that I could come interview him. And I never heard back from him. But, you know, perhaps I should do the same thing here. But that's the question that we have to ask. Like, are these people, are they set up by the FBI? I believe that the Boston bomber was set up by the FBI.
Absolutely. We only have a couple minutes left, so I want to. This goes by so fast with you. You're full, chock full of great information.
Okay.
So I want to give you the last couple of minutes, so to give out your links, promote anything you want to promote.
Okay. Well, I have blog.thegovernmentrag.com. We have many writers that write there, publish stuff. I have thegovernmentrag.com. And I also have jaredleeloeffner.com. And you can go there and find all of my information. I have lots of writers that write about everything that there is, you know, that has to do with, you know, everything corrupt in this world. They do a great job writing about it. And that's what I do. And I'm like everybody else right now. You know, I'm researching into this COVID hoax and, you know, what in the heck are they doing locking down the whole world?
Yes.
And, you know, this is very alarming. And, you know, this is where the zombies come out. We see them on a daily basis. They're just zombies walking around going, well, I believe in, I'm not going to question anything. I'm just going to go do. But the rest of the world is uprising And Americans are still sitting here lazy and, you know, not really questioning what's happening. And so, you know, we got to get off the ball and start taking back control of our country. And we have to do that, you know, immediately, or we're going to end up losing, you know, our country to 100% communism.
Absolutely. Well,
torture and death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to have you back again to talk about COVID and some other stuff, because there's so much we can talk to you about, but I wanted to kind of go in depth a little bit on Sandy Hook and Boston bombing, because you've done great research there. So I can't thank you enough. It's, you know, it's a pleasure talking with you, and I know the audience loves you. So yeah, I would, any kind of COVID research you've done, send it to me or whatever. We can talk about that. We'll have you back. Okay. I thank you so much for being with us, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you, and I'll look forward to your book as well.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after these words. And welcome back to Our Protest. Hope you guys like the return appearance of Stephanie Sledge. She's just wonderful. I mean, if you get over those communication problems, your Skype has to get a little better. But if you get past that, it's fantastic. I want to say something nice about TFR. First of all, it's nice to have the commercials and music back. But really huge improvement. When they went to Fox News updates, I thought that this was not fitting with the format of this. I mean, this is a conspiracy-friendly network. I mean, most of us in one way or another are fighting the powers that be. Fox News just, to me, just didn't fit. I mean, it wasn't maybe as bad as CNN, but it didn't fit Fox News updates. The Onion News parody is perfect. I love listening to it. Much, much better. That along with the Tough Titty commercial, good work. So let's keep that up. Those are the kind of commercials that a network that's an alternative to the mainstream should be having. So phone lines are open. And I don't know. You guys are either have been calling, or I hear all the time that you can't get through. So hopefully the phone lines are working. But the line to call is 1-833-TFR-LIVE. That's the easiest way. Or 213-233-3998. Or that tricky, pesky UK line 44203-393-2871. But the easiest way is 1-833-TFR-LIVE. I love hearing from you, and I love your participation in the chat room. So can't thank you enough for that. So again, just going over, I was reading Peruse Godlike Productions. I'm sure most of you have looked at that. It's not quite as good as it was prior, before Trump. That was really a wild place, but it kind of got taken over by Trump, but it's still pretty good, and it's still like the clearinghouse where you can find really outrageous stuff. And you know, when I can't get links from my friend Chris, who is my top researcher, I do sometimes find things on Godlike Productions that I can't find anywhere else. Somebody will leave a link, so it's I always check that out, but it's just, you know, just looking at this stuff there, it's just amazing what we're proposing. I don't know if you guys saw, it's just a fascinating video. And I really was shocked Tucker Carlson didn't show it. And I hope he does tonight, because really he's been doing, again, he doesn't go into the conspiracy world. I know that, but as far as just the vaccines and the plandemic and the nonsense with the political prisoners in Washington, D.C., he's the only one. I mean, and to a lesser degree, Laura Ingraham actually touches on that too somewhat. He's the only one that's presenting any kind of alternative viewpoint to the mainstream nonsense. So there, yesterday, you had four representatives, I think it was. It was Matt Gaetz, of course, who's the much – and every time I see that guy, again, he's one of the better ones there. So I really tend to think that was politically motivated, that ridiculous alleged assertion that he had a relationship with a 17-year-old girl, which even if it's true, if he had a relationship with a 17-year-old girl, that makes him way less perverted than the majority of those congressmen who are doing God knows what with, you know, toddlers, whatever they're doing in their pedophile world. Chris asks, I wonder if Stephanie knew about laughing, giggling Monsignor Robert Weiss. Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't know. She seems to know pretty much, but I didn't get to touch on that. But I mean, Sandy Hook is, again, such a, as I'm finding out, as I'm wading through the massive amount of stuff that's out there, and so many things I'd forgotten. And Chris was able to find so many, I thought, dead videos. And it's amazing that I remembered well from back in the day. And if any of you know who, I mean, I would love to, just watching the works of Red Silver J, you know, Team Wake 'Em Up. Boy, he was just so entertaining. And don't, I mean, that guy is still there, but I don't know. He's been muted, and I would love to have him on, you know, the show. But yeah, I can't find, there's no contact info for him. He has a Patreon page, he has all that stuff, but there's there didn't seem to be any way to contact him. And by the way, I put out my thing again about my PayPal, and some of you have been contributing to my PayPal again. It's always wonderful, and I thank you when I can, if I have any other contact info for you. But some people, it's really amazing when I get people whose names I don't recognize that send me a contribution. And you know, there's no way, I can't figure out on PayPal how to thank somebody for it, because there's no like way to respond or something. And I don't know, I don't recognize the name from anywhere else. So again, it's very much appreciated. But if you're willing to do that, because I am very happy, I'm not, I'm doing exactly what I want to do, but I am pretty much being paid like a McDonald's worker as a writer. And so the more money I can make doing this, the more I can do, and the more inspired I'll be. So again, if you want to help, it's wonderful. It's my email address is author, as in writer, A-U-T-H-O-R, Jeffries, J-E-F-F-R-I-E-S, author, Jeffries at gmail.com. And it will certainly be appreciated. So, again, so looking at that, and I was disappointed that, you know, these guys went to the Matt Gaetz, the much demonized Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is really interesting. I'm sorry, she just is. I mean, yeah, she's kind of wacky. But again, these are the best we have, people. You know, we don't have Huey Long in there or John F. Kennedy. These are the best we have. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Louis Gohmert, and one other guy I can't remember. But there were four Republicans, and they went to Jacob Post, the McDonald's food. Yeah. Well, you know, not actually working at McDonald's, but it's I am getting paid that way while doing what I want. So again, more than most people can say, I guess. But they went there, and they actually were trying to went to the Washington D.C. Department of Corrections. They wanted to investigate, you know, the claims that we've all heard that these prisoners are being, well, first of all, it's not a claim. They've been in prison for months. That alone is an outrage, being denied bail, being kept there before trial. This is absolutely absurd, unprecedented. They're political prisoners, unquestionably. But they wanted to go and see for themselves and question them as far as are they, because we've heard evidence that they're indications they're not being presented with evidence against them, all these things that are constitutional rights of every defendant. And to watch that video, it's surrealistic. Where if you watch it, and I hope Tucker Carlson shows it, because it shows you, and it, Louis Gohmert at one point says, this is, you know, this is what happens in third world countries. You can see what has happened to America. And, you know, you got a taste of it with if you watched Wolfgang Halbig when he went up to Newtown. And he got a hearing before the freedom of base was commissioned to determine his Freedom of Information Act request. And if you saw the disdain, the way he was treated, it was, I mean, it was like they're you know, little kids were coming and bothering them. There was so much open disdain on the part of every one of those officials. They didn't treat him with any respect at all. And then when he tried to get into the United Way building, which is his right, it's a public building, he wanted to ask them questions about one of the many mysterious funds. An arsenal of police officers stood and blocked his way, very intimidating way, manner. They gave him a $150 ticket. But, you know, if you see these things, this is, you know, we used to make fun of Mexico and say, you know, the police would do anything there and you could bribe them. But Americans are doing that. American police officers are doing that. But it doesn't seem to be any indication that you can pay them off. In Mexico, supposedly, everything has a price. You slip him a $20 bill and he smiles and say, go on your way. We don't have that luxury in America. So we're actually worse off than the Mexicans are in terms of dealing with this tyrannical stuff. But that was one thing. But to see congressmen treated that way, there was this huge obese, I guess some kind of prison supervisor who they're supposed to talk to. She barely recognized their existence. She just claimed they were trespassing, turned her back on them, And then they were told, well, we can talk to a supervisor outside. They were tricked into going outside of the building. And in the meantime, someone doubled back and locked the doors on them so they couldn't get back inside. It's fascinating to watch. And of course, the lack of media coverage as well. The only two people there that I think it was right news network or something. Some, you know, young female reporter who did a good job, but much better journalist than the mainstream journalist. But she was there covering it. And ONI network, which is a little bit better than the other networks that are on some TV, most cable outlets, cable networks. But so, you know, cable packages rather. But to watch that, it's fascinating. So hopefully Tucker addresses it, and I would like to see him have those on the show. But he seems to have gone away from Matt Gaetz ever since the thing, which I don't know if he's turned his back on him or what, but I'd like to see him cover that show because no one else is going to. Yes, Chris says the Sandy Hook firefighters wanted to beat Wolfgang up. Yeah, well, there's this old, I think he's the fire chief or some volunteer firefighter. And yeah, he just treats him. And again, what is a firefighter got? I mean, just make it, if you watch how these people act, you recognize what are they protecting? It's like an old Twilight Zone episode, you know, when some outsider rolls up into a town and, you know, the whole town is covering up and, you know, what are you doing here? What are you, this? Yeah, we don't cotton any strangers. Get out of town. That's you know, that's the sense you get, that we're all in a Twilight Zone episode. This is not America. This isn't even the America that I used to criticize nonstop. And I'm going to write a blog entry. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to title it something like "I Told You So," and because I don't like to say "I Told You So," but and I hate people that do. But in this case, I'm going to do it. I'm going to. GBGN one, that's Brian, I believe. This is "They Live" episode. Yeah. Yeah, well, there's, and again, we're walking around, we don't have the glasses to, but we don't need to see the true faces of these people because they're showing them. They're not really, and that's the worst thing about this this pandemic. And they've come out of the shadows. The roaches are out in full force. They've been drawn into the light, but nobody's stepping on them. Nobody's you know, spraying them. And they're just, you know, multiplying. And there's no attempt. There used to be, they used to try to put the best face on this. And they used to try to hide their intents. And the Katie Couric's of the world saying, hey, guys, you know, and trying to be sweet and you know, the sweet and cute, perky cheerleader she was in high school, like the vast majority of these female broadcasters were, as I wrote about in Bullyocracy, just a little bit of research shows that almost all of them are cheerleaders, which makes them perfect journalists because they're cheerleaders for the state. Chris says, Stephanie forgot to mention they tore Lanza's house down as well as the school. Yeah, I was going to mention that. I didn't get a chance to insert it. Yeah, that's perhaps even more incredible, you know, than to tear down the school, but then you tear down an individual house involved. I mean, again, as a realtor, I can tell you that that's, you know, we used to have to even talk about how to what you could reveal about a house where a crime had been committed. And I, if I remember correctly, you could, I mean, you never wanted to volunteer or something like that, but if someone asked you questions about it, I think you were obligated if you knew to talk about it. Whereas, back during the, now it would probably, you know, be kind of transgender things, but back then when the AIDS crisis was really big, they, you know, thanks to Dr. Anthony Fauci, by the way, who gave AZT to a bunch of people who, had false positives and had no symptoms at all and told them they had HIV, an unproven thing, gave them this deadly AZT and killed them by the thousands. The reason why the gay community for a long time hated Fauci. But this guy's no hero. He's got a lot of blood on his hands. But you used to the instruction back then was everything was so privacy where you could never – you couldn't say one thing about AIDS. And so if someone had died from AIDS in the house, even if somebody asked you, and I always felt that was wrong. I remember arguing with him at the, when I had to go to the education classes. I said, you know, this is what, you know, I think we should be obligated to reveal. No, no, political correctness. No, you can't reveal it. You can't say anything about it. So this is, you know, this is, you know, so there's no precedent for tearing down somebody's house that's involved that because you have scenes of murder that are everywhere and are sold all the time. Bam says AZT was a repurposed cancer drug that obviously did nothing. Yeah, it was it had been rejected as a chemotherapy drug, and it was it's amazing. And just, you know, to try to just looking at somebody like Fauci's career, you realize how you know, what these people get away with. Jacob said they made a propaganda film with Philadelphia Tom Hanks. Yeah, I could never watch that. One, because it was propaganda. Number two, it starred Tom Hanks, who I absolutely despise. Chris says, Felon Chris Rodia owned the car Lanza drove. Chris Manfredonia was second Sandy suspect. Manfredonia's nephew is now a serial killer. he scratched the surface, and it's the connections here are just are phenomenal. And that's why he said, just a little. I was discussing a part of the JFK assassination with my friend Bob Wilson, great friend of the show. I was telling him, I said, just imagine what a little investigation do with this one little aspect of the JFK assassination we're talking about. Just imagine any of these things, discussing the kind of connections that Stephanie was talking about with, you know, the Mossad and just the various agencies that are connected, and certainly the drills. I mean, we know in every one of these incidents, one of these incidents, there's a drill that is happening. All going back to 9/11, everyone. Bam says Hanks is in on the planned epic. He absolutely is, and never let it be forgot that Hanks was when they announced him as the first celebrity, first high profile figure as that had come down with COVID. I just, you know, it didn't surprise me at all. I said, you know, this is the perfect choice. This guy, I mean, Hanks, if you look at his career, first of all, he's the most outspoken Oswald did it. That's it. That alone, you know, I used to, you know, JFK assassination guy, I used to just judge people by that. So if I knew they were postulating that Oswald did it, that's it. I didn't care anything else about him. I had no interest in them whatsoever. So he, you know, he's been very vocal about that, which is obviously a ridiculous position to take. He is also very, very big in extolling the virtues of the Apollo moon program. And again, if you studied that, you realize how phony that was as well. I think he actually thinks he went to the moon, and he appears to think he was part of the greatest generation. He also extols that, you know, which I don't think they were the greatest generation at all. So this guy is a shill, and he's into so many bizarre things. If you look at his Twitter feed, you know, that's a nice, thanks, Chris. He's got a nice gif of him up there. And that was, I believe, when, what's the British guy? Rob, the guy was calling out the celebrities at the award ceremony. Help me out here. What was the guy's name? The original office guy in Britain, Robbie something, isn't it? That's Hank's look on his face is priceless as he's calling them out for the phonies and hypocrites they are. But Hanks's Twitter account, if you look at it, it is featured for years. Ricky Gervais, thank you, Chris. I knew you got it. Ricky Gervais. Hanks's Twitter account for years has featured photographs, you know, inexplicable photographs of tennis shoes, a tennis shoe or tennis shoes that he photographs along the road. And it's just, what? I mean, it's bizarre to say the least, especially given with, you remember Isaac Cappy, who, you know, jumped off a bridge allegedly after going on Alex Jones and other shows and talking about and naming people like Spielberg and Hanks and people like that as being high profile pedophiles. Now, Cappy was a kind of a bit actor. He had been, you know, not any kind of, I don't even have had speaking roles, but he was familiar with the industry, and the fact that, you know, he died right after saying it is certainly was enough to get my attention. Actually, Lynn Wood mentioned his name, by the way. When Lynn Wood went way down the rabbit hole after the election, he mentioned Isaac Cappy at one point. That's when I said, whoa, Lynn Wood is really, you're talking about that. That's way deep down the rabbit hole. But Hanks, once he became the first notable figure, allegedly, with COVID, he sends out Instagram. I don't know if it's Instagram or Twitter, but he has a picture of his Corona typewriter. And again, keep in mind, Corona, obviously, it was a coronavirus. Same day, Madonna, you know, one of the, talk about a shill and a Satanist or whatever the hell she is. Talk about They Live. I think, you know, Madonna would be, you would need to put on your glasses to see what, you know, Madonna doesn't look like that. But also is pecking away on her Corona typewriter. Interesting. And, you know, Hanks is something like, I never go anywhere with that. You know, this is a multi-zillionaire. And in the day where he can get iPads and, you know, top of the line, anything, it's much easier to transport, much better technology. Now, Tom Hanks lugs around a heavy old Corona typewriter to do whatever it is he's typing out. Jacob says Cappy was like a writer or something, friends with Seth Green. Yeah, Seth Green was the one he made the most accusations against. But he was, I don't know what kind of writer he was, but he had been a bit player. He had been in, I can't remember some of the movies, but oh, that's a nice gift. Chris finds the great gift. He's got a great one of Madonna as well. But never understand how John F. Kennedy Jr. supposedly slept with her. I mean, come on, JFK Jr., sexiest man alive. You could have had anybody you wanted. I mean, why would you? Why would you want to stoop to that? Really? She's no Marilyn Monroe. But so Hanks also, if you regard, again, we talked about symbolism when we mentioned 33 earlier. Hanks tweeted out curiously that he was in quarantine with his wife, actress wife Rita Wilson. And he said something like, my wife is beating me in gin rummy by 21 points. Again, those of us that have our spidey sense going, we got our antenna. First of all, there's no reason to mention any number there. Why just, it's easy enough to say, if you have to say it, my wife is beating me in gin rummy by 21 points. And of course, 21 is significant because at that time, Agenda 21 was in the news. And everybody was, the early conspiracy theorists were talking about this is just what they're talking about in Agenda 21. Let's see. Didn't Tom beat his wife with Rita at 21 points? Yeah, probably so. I mean, yes, God, you get beat by 21 points. Jacob says, don't forget her. He's friends with Oprah and the Black Eye Club. Well, yeah, he's got to be. I don't know if Tom Hanks ever shown up with a black eye, but I would think he will, because, you know, again, if you know what that's about, it's not, these people are not in some kind of secret fight club. That's apparently a side effect of adrenochrome, which is exuded from frightened children. So, Hanks typed his wife beating by a general by 201 points. Okay, thank you, Bam. 201 is a it's a Jesuit's number. I didn't know that, but it's related to agenda. Maybe it was agenda 201 or something. I don't know. But okay, 201. Yes, Chet Hanks made fun of the conspiracy theorist, Chris. Yes, and if you look at that post, boy, I think that was an Instagram post. First of all, he's got the eye in the pyramid, which is the Illuminati thing. I mean, that is the occultist number one seed for occult symbology. And of course, it's on the back of our dollar bill. Thank you. The early Freemasons, Illuminati. But he's got that front and center, and he's making fun. He just basically says, yeah, we're late for the child sacrifice. Yeah, okay, there's. Oh, cool. That's a great picture, Jacob, of Hanks and, that's Oprah and Gail. Isn't that nice? Let me make this bigger. Thank you. I am not allowed to talk. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're so cool, Hanks. Yeah, that's okay, what did I do here? Yeah. The guy's one of the weirdest celebrities in the world. And if there is, you know, whatever kind of occult Satanist, whatever influence, I mean, if that is true, the rumors that you hear, and I hear it all the time, I've never gotten a link to it, but there's rumors that there is a restaurant in Beverly Hills or LA that serves human meat. It's frequented by many of these celebrities. So if that's true, I would imagine Tom Hanks would be there, a regular attendee. I think he's in on all of that. Let's see here. Oprah's in on everything, Bam says. Yes, he is. He absolutely is. And another great gif of... of our boy Tom Hanks. I mean, again, really, I just remember when they started trying to sell him as a serious actor, I remember his stupid show Bosom Buddies, which I never watched one second of, but I mean, it was so, I mean, even for 70s TV, and you know, if you read The Unreals, I know I really have my characters critique 70s culture quite a bit, because I think that 70s culture was a wasteland led by disco, which, you know, I hate disco. But the television shows at that time, the Three's Companies of the world, and this Bosom Buddies, wow, just awful, awful stuff. And to take that guy seriously, some kind of critically acclaimed actor, sorry. And Forrest Gump, I got to tell you, I remember at the time everybody loved Forrest Gump, and they said, "Oh, you're gonna love this." So I watched it, and I thought his accent, and again, I worked with special needs kids and adults many times through the course of my life. My niece has Down syndrome, and I used to volunteer at the Special Olympics. So I understand what people like that are like. And I've never met any of them that sounded like Tom Hanks. And I mean, life is just about a change. What? I mean, it's just Hollywood. These people like that, or Rosie O'Donnell, she played a character like that once too. They have no ability at all. It's like they feel, well, I'm going to slow everything down. And then again, I've never met anyone that is mentally retarded, or however you would phrase it, that has super speed. I mean, they had him portrayed as this run crap. Or, no, it just, I'm sorry, it just doesn't exist. That doesn't happen. And not to mention the absurdity of him being at all these places, and then having the good-looking girl, the friend, eventually sleep with him. You know, sorry, it just doesn't happen. Brent says, I like the – well, you know, Brian, I do like the Bee Gees. I mean, and I will give you that. I don't like disco, but the Bee Gees did disco as well as it could be done. So I love the Bee Gees, yes. But they did some. Their early music was great, very Beatlesque. But let's see. Absolutely pitiful for sure. The truth is, the info is out there. Turner and Hooch. Yeah, I mean, just so stupid. Ellen DeGeneres, David Spade all wigging out. He must have been. Yeah, I mean, if you just, why would you listen to any of these people? Even the ones I like, I mean, they're just stupid. Let's see, the Ramones. You got a gift for the Ramones. That's exactly. And the Ramones came along. At the same time as my Elvis Costello, Graham Parker. Wonderful. I loved New Wave. It gave me a new lease on life as far as culturally. I said, well, disco's finally gone. I love this stuff, and I bought so much of that music. Supported them in any way I could, because it was so wonderful to finally kill the ridiculous disco. Anyway, we'll be right back into these words.
Out of the aeroplane, stepped Chamberlain with a condiment, saved a piece. But as blue as the ocean, how the sun shines down.
Diet Protest, and I was going to shout out to the chat room, but you guys keep leaving. I lost like four of you during the commercial break, so I don't know what's going on. I appreciate the people that are staying there, but people wade in and out. So, thanks to those of you who were in there and left before I could thank you. Anyhow, thanks. A shout out to Sophia the Bot, Bam 420, the artist formerly known as Bam. Very helpful to me when I was crippled by not having my commercials and music, so he was very helpful, and I appreciate that. Onslow, recognize you, good support of the show. C. Graves, I can't say enough about you. Just amazing. Exemplary researcher. Jacob B., another great supporter, really appreciate. GBGN1, another great supporter of Possession Media, appreciate you being here. What, the main man, Tony Artimer, Wise Wolf Radio, very much appreciate you. I'm honored to have you listening, and Tony has been so supportive of me. It's just incredible all the help he's been, and I can't say enough about him, about how wonderful he is. Dramatic Creature, thanks for being here. Confident Person and Dramatic Chatter. So thanks for being in the chat room. And again, that number is still there, 1-833-TFR-LIVE. I don't know if it's not working anymore. You guys just decided, because we used to get calls, and I don't know. I haven't heard from my old friend, Michelle Stefanik, who did like two or three parts on the show. She emailed me, but I don't know. She's not hearing from her either. So, we can talk about Sandy Hook and all these kinds of things, but and you know, Tom Hanks and all this stuff. But I mean, we're really, you know, we're at a point. Like I said, if you get a chance to look at the those congressmen being turned away as they were, and maybe they'll be prosecuted for trespassing. I don't know, but it's we have reached. Any of you that even, and if you've lived long enough at all, and anybody that's, if you're an adult, you know, my son is 31, and, you know, he recognizes how different this country is than when he was a kid. So if you have any, certainly if you're older than that, you lived in a different country. We are in uncharted waters now, and there is no blowback for these people. They're doing whatever they want. They're using the vaccine, especially, and as one of the unvaccinated, I'm not going to get vaccinated. My family knows that, and I'm finding out that, you know, just how I've heard from some people, you know, they told me the same things that are happening in their families with their parents or their siblings. And it's frightening. And I see what's happening with, you know, in my family, where myself and my kids and my brother, we're turning into pariahs, where I don't, you know, we're not going to get invited to any more reindeer games, I guess, assuming everything, you know, opens up. It's not going to happen. Birthday parties, no, can't have you there. Christmas gathering, no, can't have you there. Now, I don't know. My birthday's in August. My son's birthday's in August as well. We were probably going to invite, you know, family over for that. I don't know. I don't think they'll come at this point. So I don't know what the point is even inviting them. But and the other side, my wife's side of the family is even her sister is just, you know, really, she is just a complete Karen. And so there's a wedding that's going on there. You know, the invitation said, you know, don't bother coming if you're not vaccinated. So myself and the kids, you know, the kids are very close. They were, you know, closer than any cousins, any of the cousins in the family. Not going to happen. I just think it's so sad because falling for this, you know, short-sightedness, this incredible, you know, this avalanche of propaganda and nonsensical. I mean, just analyze it for 5 minutes and realize how stupid it is. Variants. What does that even mean? They just throw these words like primordial ooze out at you. That's one of my favorites where they just and it works. Most of the people say, oh, yeah, yeah, primordial ooze, yeah, that's right, yeah, it's true, you know. And same thing with this you know, variant, variant's dangerous, man. We got to get vaccinated again. And you know, okay, define what variant is. And exactly how do you determine, as I've tried to explain to people, there's no test for this variant, but then there's no test for COVID-19 either. They told you that in the beginning. One of my first shows I did on it with John Rappaport, we talked about that, you know, back like last April. When this thing first started, we talked about how they had not isolated the particular strand that they're claiming is so deadly, and they still haven't. So it hasn't been identified. So it hasn't been proven to exist, people. Get that through your heads. I mean, how stupid can you be? You're falling for this. Yes, Chris, there are sheeple, absolutely. Jacob says, where's Dr. Hotze? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should ask Dr. Hotze back on the show. I still get emails from him. The last time I asked him was when somebody canceled me, and I asked him almost the same day, and he didn't respond. I think maybe he was offended because I did get him to come on last minute a couple times before that. But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't asked him for whatever reason, and I'm going to try to get Dr. Scott Jensen. I think he's going to be on the Donald Jeffries show. And I hope you guys are listening to that. And I know, obviously, some of you, Chris and Jacob, I know both have been there. And I'd love to see some of you other guys, Bam, Onslow, Brian, Tony Arteburn, you know, these guys, you know, that wonderful supporters of mine. Has chat room feature there on Ocelli.com. And it's Wednesdays from 6 to 8. I just got good news. I found, you know, because I'm having a harder time getting guests because, again, I'm one of these guys, you know, when I walk into the ballroom, when I walk into the dance, I'm going to go for the top tier. I'm going to go for the prettiest girls. That's who I'm going to ask to dance. And I'm just going to keep plucking away. And I'm probably not eventually, maybe eventually I'll ask somebody, but that's me. And so that's the way I look at it here. I am being very picky about guests. There are lots of people I could get that I don't take just anybody. GBGN1 says, yeah, I've been labeled as conspiracy nut by my family also because I won't take the jab. It's heartbreaking. Yeah, and I feel for you, brother, because, you know, this is so sad. And what's really sad is I tell everybody, and I can tell everybody here, Jacob says, upper echelon typos. Thank you, Bam. Dr. Anna Garner would be a great guest. If you have her contact info, Anna Garner. I have to look her up. Sure. Chris says I try to find cool guests, but they end up being too busy rearranging their sock drawers. Dude, yeah, you sure do, Chris. You're kind of like me. You're shooting for the prettiest girls, definitely. I mean, you're going for the tens. You're constantly trying to get me hooked up with these really, really nice people. And it worked with Batman's Bill Finger's granddaughter. That was pretty cool. But the rest, you know, these people are. But I did find out, you know, Naomi Wolf, who I've been bragging about being her friend, and she, I thought she loved me, and certainly love her. And she hadn't been answering my emails, and I thought, oh, maybe I offended her, but she just finally answered back and said, of course I'm not offended by you, so, you know, we still love each other. So she's going to be on the Donald Jeffrey show this coming Wednesday, so I hope you listen to that. We have some good guests there, and from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time on Ocelli.com, and Tony Arterburn is archiving them on AmericaUnplugged.com, and Jeff Rentz, who, if you guys can listen to me every Monday, if you, that's always a good, you know, I enjoy going in rents. I mean, he and I, yeah, I have to listen to him say Marxists and communists. And I don't, you know, I don't like name calling. I don't like when people say Nazis and racists and all that stuff. And I don't like communists and Marxist stuff again. I just think it, you know, really it weakens your argument. I don't like to use names. Jacob says, get McAfee's wife. I'd love to. I've emailed Janice McAfee twice and she used to get right back to me, but I think she's, I don't blame her. I can't, I don't blame her for being scared. She's, I want to find out if indeed he sent out that tweet on June 6th or whenever it was, or June 8th, about giving out the address of the building that collapsed in Florida, because that's an exploding gun, not a smoking gun, if that's true. GBGM once says, don't have Jeff Rentz on, you won't have to talk at all the whole yeah, no, I don't think it would be good reversing roles. Let's see. Chris says, maybe my old buddy Q from IJ. I'm not sure who that is. You're using too many abbreviations. It's over my head. Everybody, the guy used to do interviews for a decade. Yeah, you seem to have a connection with Kevin, Chris. Kevin Smith. That's amazing. Hey, you know, that would be wonderful. I mean, I thought, because I know you have a connection. I've never seen Clerks all the way through, so I DVR'd it. I think it's coming on Turner Classic. I'll have to watch it and see. So I'm up on that. Obviously, he's a popular guy. Jacob says, I already forgot about the building collapse. Yeah, I mean that's what they do. It's one thing after another. I mean, they know the American attention span is short, and they take advantage of it. Yeah, I know, GBG. I know you were joking, and I don't think Jeff. You know, I talked about it. One time I asked him if he might come on when I was going to try to have like a birthday thing for John Barber, but he never did it. Chris says, "Impractical Jokers," Brian Quinn. Yeah, you have a connection with that guy too. Yeah, those are interesting guys. My son loves that show. He turned me. Well, I haven't watched it for a while now, but they're an interesting show. I mean, it's different. Kevin's about to film Clerks 3, hoping to get turns. But that's cool. Well, you have some interesting connections, and but so I hope people are listening to that show, and I hope you're reading me on Substack. I wrote an article last week called "The Undead Versus the Unvaccinated." Got a lot of attention, and I know Dr. Sherry Tenpenny loved it, so I hope to be back on there soon because she's got a huge audience. I didn't know that. Chris said Brian Quinn used to work for Kevin. I didn't know there's a connection there. Wow, cool. But again, if you get a chance, look at that video of the congressman being really treated like you know, some wino that's loitering around the sidewalk. I mean, that's basically the way they were treated. And, you know, it's shocking to see that because, but this is what the woke mentality has brought. And the two-party system was bad enough, I called them Republicrats, but there really is a split now. And it's not that the Republicans are horrible for the most part, but when you see those, you saw three of the best that we have there. I don't know, the fourth guy didn't really talk, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, wacky as she comes, off the wall. Matt Gaetz, you know, saddled with these alleged charges about the young girl. And Louie Gohmert. Again, I'm sure I disagree with him on a bunch of stuff, but that's the best you're going to get. That's what's there. And that's our hope. But, you know, it's until you can get other people. But if you could get half the Congress that was like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz, you might have a chance to get something done because they're good on a lot of issues. But, you know, again, but there were the Republicans right now, as bad as they are, and I call them the stupid party, they are light years less dangerous than the woke Democrats because these people are just absolutely deranged. Chris says, I found someone who may be able to draw some art from the Unreals for a comic graphic novel. Oh, Peter, my boy Peter Seacott. Yeah, that would be great. I need to, you know, and I don't. I wish I could send you guys copies of the Unreals, but I have not. I couldn't even. I think I barely have one copy of each edition left that I kept for myself, because I did give a bunch of copies away back in the day, but to people like Oliver Stone. Our Robert Ben Grant, if you guys have heard it, if you watched that show Reno 911, which is a hilarious comedy, he played Travis Jr. on the show. And through my brother-in-law, who's friends with him, he came and talked to us at a writer's group. So I got to meet him several years ago and gave him – we traded he gave me an autographed copy of his book about screenwriting or something. And again, he also wrote screenplay, co-wrote with Thomas Lennon, the screenplay for Night at the Museum, big hit film. But he loved the Unreals, and he wrote a blurb that's, not that anybody, the Unreals gets so little publicity, but it does have a nice blurb from a guy that was on a hit show and a big screenwriter. Chris said, would you ever consider interviewing Marjorie Greene to get her take on JFK Jr., Sandy Hook, as wacky as it might be? Sure. I'd love to have her on. It'd be great. Right? I really think, because just of her personality, I think she's somebody they let people like that slip through once in a while. I think they do it on purpose just to, for public relations purposes. Like they, once in a while they let somebody really rise from the top and rise from the bottom. And I think that's the case with her. I'd love to. I'd be happy to talk to her. Chris said, do you ever get to meet Thomas Lennon? No. And Thomas Lennon was my friend on Facebook for a while, and he deleted me a long time ago. I guess that's what. But the other Reno people, the black guy, the officer, and can't remember his name, and the Carrie Kenny, I think it is, that played the female. I think they're still my Facebook friends. I never communicated with them, but Ben Garant's a really nice guy. But, and that's what I found, most of these, the celebrities such as it's been, I'm not meeting top tier celebrities, but, on my show with Ella, which is great if you like showbiz, I'm trying to, I pretty much try to reserve like any kind of showbiz type people for that show, because I think it works better. Ella's perfect for that because she has her own showbiz connections. But if you check out, you can get the archives. This past Monday, we interviewed Marta Kristen, who, if you're fans of the Lost in Space series, she played Judy Robinson, the hot blonde, on Lost in Space. And, it was very exciting for me as a huge Lost in Space fan. And she was as nice as can be. And so she was interested in Bullyocracy. So I sent her said, I'd love to have a copy. So I sent her an autographed copy of that. So hopefully she'll like it. But, these people so many of them are nice. Chris said, maybe Marjorie Greene might have a take on how the panic button's being messed with before January 6th and the Camp Auschwitz provocateurs, et cetera. Yeah, I think, and there are certainly behind closed doors, I think people like her and Gates obviously know that something was going on there. But just when you see them treated like that, and I hope Tucker takes, because, somebody has to stand up and say, because this is, if you read, I'm writing an article for American Free Press this week about it. Just wrote it today, but it'll appear in the next issue. But Joe Biggs, who was a high-profile guy on Alex Jones' InfoWars, back when InfoWars was really, cooking, before Trump came on to being. Biggs was his man on the scene many times with David Knight. They would go to areas and do great location reports. And, big Army veteran, kind of intimidating figure. Well, Biggs, I guess, is associated with the Proud Boys now, and he was there. Did nothing violent, but he was at the riot. I think he was inside the Capitol. I'm not sure, but on January 6th, and he's been in prison. And he wrote an open letter I will publish many excerpts from it in the upcoming article, American Free Press. But it's heartbreaking to read. Just to see what these guys are going through. And again, keep in mind, this is very similar to what Abraham Lincoln did when he suspended the writ of habeas corpus and threw untold thousands of Americans in the North in prisons for objecting to his policies. Kept there, no bail, no writ of habeas corpus, no trial, nothing. Weren't informed of any charges against him. And that's what's happening to these guys. Bail suspended. They're being tortured. they're being thrown in solitary confinement in a new twist, you know, the psychosexual way these guys behave. And I first read about it with Bradley, or I don't know if it was Bradley or Chelsea Manning yet, but Manning, who, regardless of what you call that as far as her, the gender, very courageous individual, and certainly deserves our respect. But Manning was kept in solitary confinement and naked. And at first I thought, you know, that's a weird thing, but this is a new twist. And Biggs talked about that when he wrote in his letter that they're stripped naked and a freezing room in solitary confinement. So again, this is, there's a weird sexual element to it. Chris, you're too much. I wish Don did a show Monday through Friday. Well, you know, I would love to. Somebody had contacted me on LinkedIn, and but I get these things every once in a while. It's like a false hope thing. And I remember, like, you know, back in the day when you're really young, and you know, like for a day or two, you think some girl you really like likes you, and then it just kind of fades away, and you don't know what happened. But I get that a lot. False hope, I call it, where, and Bam seconds that. Thank you so much. But this guy is talking about, and he's got a real extensive background. He's won all kinds of awards, worth the mainstream bid, but he loved hidden history. And he says, I want to interview you, and I think I can maybe get you a paid gig. So that's the idea. I mean, I could only do it because, as hard as it is for me to get guests that I want, I would go nuts trying to get them every day. I would need, but, you know, I have a producer with Ocelli, but even with that, it's hard. But I would have to have a staff and somebody to play off of. Somebody like Ella would be perfect for that. But yeah, if I get, I could do something like it, because I can find something to talk about every day, and whatever guests we get be great. But whatever I get paid, if I get paid even, you know, a barrel, you know, something, half of what I got paid in my job in IT, I would be ecstatic over that, doing what I like, and I would be happy to do that. Chris says, dehumanizing political prisoners like the pedo MK Ultra stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, I think. And it's shameful that no one is. And again, there's nobody. I am, you know, ostensibly on the left, and I'm going to talk to, you know, I hope Naomi Wolf agrees with me about that. But you know, there's no one on the left that cares about. I mean, nobody cares about the rights of prisoners anymore. You know, back in the day, the left, you know. I was all in on that. And if you, and that's, you know, maybe a book down the road. I don't know if I can fit that in or not, with a book just about the legal system and the prisons industrial complex, because there it is shocking. And I watch all these investigation discovery shows, and I look at all the people that are railroaded, that are sent to prison on the flimsiest evidence for a life. I mean, there's some, you know, incredible testimony of some very questionable individual can send somebody down the road. And these juries, they rubber stamp guilty verdicts like it's going out of style. And yet, once in a while, you'll throw in some guy who's guilty, did something really bad, and much more evidence against them will be found not guilty. I mean, the jury system is horrible. I mean, I live in fear of ever having to enter an American courtroom. That's why I'm very careful what I say, because I don't want to be sued by anybody, because I don't trust the system at all. I don't trust any judge. I don't trust any jury, and I don't trust any prosecutor. And I can't afford any kind of a good defense attorney, and there are very few out there that would defend somebody like that anyhow. Chris said, I'd like to see you have a screenplay movie made one day. I'm trying to get a horror flick made myself. Yeah. Well, you know, that's really the only way a writer can make really, really big money now is to sell something like that, for fiction anyhow. And I have my novel, The Simulators, is, again, I think by far the best thing I've ever done. And I'm trying to find a way to get someone's attention for it. And I'd love to, you know, have Netflix or somebody look at it. But I think it would make a great series. But, you know, it's that's obviously not very easy to do. And I'd also like to get Netflix or someone to consider a series on Bullyocracy. I think Bullyocracy would be a fantastic. My wife tells me that all the time. You know, she's the eye of the public out there that watches these TV shows. It would be a great, you know, kind of gripping reality show where you could have every week, you could have a different story, because there's so many heartbreaking stories out there. But what people go through in terms of being bullied, and I think the public would really relate to that. But again, I had to figure out who to send it. That's the problem with any of this stuff, is having a connection. You need someone to open the door. Chris, so what about the kid books? They can be a lucrative market. Yeah, well, that, you know, and I want to call Midnight School that I think is great. I had a young guy that did really good artwork for it, but I can't, you know, a couple people read it and liked it, but most of the time there, I don't know where to go with it. You can't even get people to read it. I can't get people to read that. And you know, if you look at a lot of the kids' books, authors, they're people that are celebrities in their own right. And that Marta Kristen actually is writing a kids' book. She'll probably get it published. But, you know, you have people like, Madonna and people like that. Or Terrell Owens, the old football player. Those are the kind of people that had the kids' books published. And I don't know why that is, you know, as far as kids' illustrated books. But it is. So it's not easy. Chris is just full of questions. Hidden history, crimes, and cover-ups would make a fascinating Netflix or Patreon kind of thing. Well, yeah, that would be great, but I would harbor no illusions that, I mean, I, you know, Netflix is like all the, they're just, any kind of conspiratorial stuff is anathema to these people. Although I will say Netflix, the series on Waco was really pretty good. That was not, yeah, I'd say so. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of hope. Chris said, even Peter may be great with the kids' books. Yeah, Peter's a great artist, man. I love his superhero stuff. I mean, he certainly looks like anybody that – he certainly draws as well as anybody I ever read. I read a lot of comic books. You know, I was a when I was a kid, there were two kinds of boys. There were the boys that were into sports, and there were other kind of boys that were kind of introverts that read a lot and would be into superhero type stuff. I was both. You know, I was a real extrovert and I played sports all the time. I was a fanatic, but I was a superhero guy too. I mean, I had a huge comic book collection. And so I was a crossover. that even then I was kind of in my own niche, I guess. But anyway, it's nice to, you know, talk about some of those things to lighten things up, because it really is. We really are in a very perilous time in our history. And it's, what's the old thing? Maybe may you be cursed to live in interesting times. Well, we're cursed, because these are definitely interesting times. Chris says, Don, Netflix has a whole section on conspiracy. They have Loose Change? Zeitgeist? Wow. Let me see. I did not know that. Loose Change is on Netflix. Wow. Well, who knows? Maybe there is hope for me. I don't know. If I could just find some kind of contact at Netflix, that would be wonderful. But, again, that's easier said than done. But anyway, well, we've gone over a lot of stuff. Obviously, we're running out of time here. So I hope in plain sight, too. Yeah, that's another good tip. Loose Change. You know, I've had Dylan Avery on the show. Trying to get him back again, too. I'd like to talk, but he hasn't replied. Do you want to buy thousands of comic books cheap in Mad Magazine? I've got a bunch of comic books in Mad Magazines, but it's bam, I appreciate it. But I figure I'd sell them maybe, because I know some of them are valuable. But anyway, we're running out of time. So I do thank you for listening, and keep sending forth this tiny ripple. Thanks so much for listening to I Protest.